Welcome to Deskmates, your Eurovision podcast. I'm Robbie. I'm your Europapa host.
So I'm Ken, and I'm your Euromama host, probably.
Eurodaddy?
Yeah. I prefer to be the Euromama here.
Mm,
you can suck my
Eurotits. No, stop that. Okay. Yeah, no. We had to. Yeah.
I prefer to be the Euromama. Somebody has to be it.
Yes.
I
mean, so we are Euro
taking
parents.
Care of all the good songs, and you can go out with the bad songs in the garage and have a beer or something.
Mm. Sounds like a good time.
Yep.
No housekeeping, because we've got so much to talk about. So let's just
Can
jump.
I just say one thing?
Okay, housekeeping.
Yeah, housekeeping. Because you asked me last time for the first countries winning in consecutive
twice in a row. Yeah.
So I said Spain. That was the first time it happened. I also said that Ireland won three, and also that Israel won twice. Luxembourg also did it in the 70s.
Wow. So Luxembourg won twice in a row and then called it off for 30 years.
Yeah. 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 Not like in they were there some years after they had done the one.
Do we know
yeah.
how Luxembourg are doing in the odds this year?
Not really well.
Okay.
No. Do you want more specifics nope. or is that enough?
that's enough for me.
I think they're like, yeah, very, very...
We have too much to talk about to get stuck down on Luxembourg.
Yes, of course.
Let's start with one of the most anticipated songs of this year's contest. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Okay.
I agree because it's it's finally UK sending an artist that is a name.
Yes.
And that hasn't been, they haven't done that for,
well, let's start
since
there.
They did Bonnie Tyler, I guess.
Well, you're touching on something we're going to get to in a second. But let's start with the name. Ollie
mm-hmm.
was working under the name Years and Years.
Yes.
So what's the story?
He had a band called Years and Years. There were three people, two other guys. They released, now I'm not having these years in my head, years and years ago, they released an album that was quite a big hit, both in UK and around Europe. And that was, I adore that record. Mm. It's it had like a lot of hit singles on it. They were also here, actually, so I watched a concert with them. Really great. Then he got a little bit more famous than the other guys, and I think he wanted to go in another direction, not as much band music, if you say something like that, not the rock route. So he took the name, he kept the name Years and Years, but the guys stopped being in the band.
Right.
Sometimes when he do things live, they're still there, but they are not like part of a band. And now he tried to do music with its own name. So this is the first time he's also letting go of the Years and Years name and just being Ollie Alexander.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so it won't surprise you to know that I've never heard of him or Years and Years, but that's, look, I'm a...
It's okay.
I don't keep up with music. But I did go and check some of the other songs, and yeah, it's very, very good. Nice, you know, nice pop music.
King, yeah. I guess is one
King
of the
King was the one that came up first on Spotify and listened to that. It's a good song, very nice. Maybe I have heard it on the radio at some point, but it didn't stick out. Before we actually get on to Ollie's song this year, I just want to, as the representative in the room of the United Kingdom, I want to say some things.
Yes.
So it's my time to talk.
It's my time, as they sang in Oslo 2010 when Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the song.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. That's, okay. Yeah.
Well, you're also touching on something I'm going to talk about now. So I got a little bit passionate in our Croatian episode about people criticizing non-English speaking countries singing in English for their, you know, how juvenile their lyrics are. Because something that I feel very passionately about is not ignoring the fact that England has a terrible past of colonialism and imperialism and all the rest of it. And a thing that I think a lot of English people have a hard time even acknowledging. You know, we still sing Rule Britannia and we wave flags and we celebrate the crowning of a, you know, 70-year-old king who inherited £2 billion tax-free. It's lunacy, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. It's not the opinion of Deskmates podcast, just my opinion, disclaimer. So I feel very passionately about this. So when the United Kingdom goes to this international contest and year after year sends the same people. And let me explain what I mean.
Yeah.
Pop trivia quiz, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Croatia.
Yeah.
And we talked about Yugoslavia. And Yugoslavia was made up of several nations. Which four countries make up the United Kingdom?
Scotland, Wales, England, and North Ireland, I would guess.
Correct. Northern Ireland, yes.
Some absolutely. Islands also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're for all intents and purposes, they're
Island of Man is just hating you right now.
Isle of Man, yeah, sure. So
Isle of Man. Okay.
4 points for that one. Now, would you know that there were four separate countries involved if you were to look at the last 10 no, years?
I was thinking that you would bring that up. No, nobody has sang in Scottish or in Welsh.
Yeah, in one of the Celtic.
Welsh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Welsh. I looked at the list of the last 10 years and you've got Ollie, English. May Muller, English. Worse still, from London. I mean, does it get any more English? Obviously, Sam Ryder, don't even know her, English. James Newman, English. Michael Rice, English. Suri, English. Lucy Jones, Welsh. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's one. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Joe and Jake, Welsh and English. Year before, Electro Velvet, English. Year before, Molly Smitten Downs, English. So 1.5 artists of the last 10 years have been Welsh, so not English. No Scottish representation, no Northern Irish representation. Now, just before we get on to those specific countries, I, looking at the list, was then amazed to see Bonnie Tyler in 2013. So yeah. I didn't know that Jedward had represented Ireland twice. You blew my mind with that. Bonnie Tyler, representing the UK, the year before, Engelbert Humperdinck.
I know.
He was born
in India, another famously British country, as we all know.
Just going to chalk that one up to things we don't talk about.
Yeah, but yeah.
And then, 2011.
Blue.
The fuck happened?
Blew your mind.
What was happening in this period?
Yeah, they were, I mean.
Desperate to.
What actually happened in that period was exactly what I started singing before here, because Jade Evan, who was a bit, she was like in Sugar Babes when Sugar Babes was dying in the end. She was like the last person they threw in there when they had took away all the others, whatever. She was sent with a song written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and suddenly UK were number 5. So people were like, oh, we can do this if we send famous names. Then the year after, they were like, oh, let's send somebody from Stock Aitken Waterman. Do you know what Stock Aitken Waterman?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yes. So they wrote the song for a guy, horrible. I mean, these were, I think it was just two of them that wrote the song. And I mean, they hadn't had hits for 20 years by then, or something. So I think he came dead last. Like he got like 10 points and came dead last. Poor Josh DeBowie. Yeah. So, but they were still on that. So that's where they started to pick up like people they think were big in Europe. But the problem were probably that Blue were old men by then. Engelbert Humperdinck was
70.
Yeah.
Something.
He was very old.
Yeah.
And Bonnie Tyler, very old. So, I mean, they were great artists back in the days, but I don't think they had their peak actually. So yeah, it didn't turn out very well, and then they stopped doing that.
Right. Mm. So moving on to, let's talk about better representation. So Scottish bands, one of the greatest bands of all time, you may not have heard of, Biffy Clyro. Does that ring any bells?
I've heard of them.
Okay, Biffy Clyro are one of the greatest rock bands, indie rock bands of all time. They actually, one of their biggest songs was called Glitter and Trauma, which I think would be a good name for your autobiography. But I mean, I went to, do you know about Leeds and Reading festivals in the UK?
No.
The big music festivals. So obviously you have Glastonbury, which is like a very big one. They have Leeds and Reading. I went to Leeds festival 2 years in a row. So I think I went 2004, 2005. And Biffy Clyro played on the main stage in 2005, and they opened with Glitter and Trauma, which is, I'm gonna make you listen to it after this podcast, because it's just an incredible song that has this really long build-up intro, and it just, when you hear it live in a field and you're having the best time of your life, it's just incredible. So Biffy Clyro are a huge, huge name in Scotland.
Annie Lennox
is also Scottish. Yeah, well done. Lewis Capaldi, one of the biggest artists in the world.
Churches,
also Scottish, well done, yeah. Paolo Nutini, you would think he's Italian, but Paolo Nutini is Scottish. Calvin Harris, one of the biggest DJs in the world.
Yeah.
Scottish.
Okay.
Texas, Travis. I mean, these are bands from back in the day.
Texas and Travis, of course.
Katie Tunstall.
Oh, never know.
Oh, wow. I think you'd like Katie Tunstall, lesbian with a guitar.
Maybe.
Belle and Sebastian, heard of them?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Franz Ferdinand, huge indie band.
Yeah.
Garbage. I know you know Garbage.
I know Garbage.
Idlewild.
I know you.
Oh, how dare you. Amy MacDonald.
Yeah, I know.
And then the last one on my list is a funny one, because Snow Patrol are half Scottish, half Northern Irish.
Okay.
So they go in both camps. Hmm. But Snow Patrol, obviously a big band.
Yeah.
So Scotland has generated a huge amount of talent.
Yeah, of course.
Why aren't we sending any of it to Eurovision?
I don't know. Maybe Scotland is not comfortable to represent UK. They want to be on their own.
Sure.
It's my guess. I wouldn't mind if they split them up as they do in football.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Why is it in some things where...
Because that would also create some fun tension.
Yeah.
Or if you had the competition like the old Yugoslavia had.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And then we have to fight it out. Northern Ireland, it's a little bit trickier. I couldn't off the top of my head name many. I could only name Snow Patrol and The Divine Comedy, if you know that band from the 90s. Mm. Van Morrison, I didn't know he was Northern Irish, but there you go. Nadine from Girls Aloud.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Linda Martin, heard of her?
She's Irish, isn't she?
She's Northern Irish.
Okay, but she's been in Eurovision. Yeah.
Not recently.
No, and not representing UK.
Dee Ream.
Okay.
Talk about 90s.
Hits.
So here you go. Northern Ireland and Scotland. I just would like some representation. And that's nothing against Ollie Alexander. But if we had a selection process, we might get a bit more variety, is all I'm saying.
Sure.
So dear UK, either split it up into four contests or have a selection process. Now, let's talk about Ollie Alexander. Pour your heart out, Ken.
Oh, I would so love to just do a whole episode about UK because I have so much to say and there has been so many songs that you probably don't know that have been representing your country that is amazing. Also, a lot of shit that I want to bring up. So, yeah, I would also probably we can bring in a guest then.
We'll do a deep dive.
We can do a deep dive and I can bring in my British friend who is a bigger Eurovision fan than me, but he knows everything and I would love to have him. I think you have the same feelings about your country. Yeah, back to Alexander. So what's happening is basically I used to say sometimes that some artists, you can look at these people, they are gay men loving Eurovision and they are finally on stage. And that, I don't know if you remember Zlatko from some years ago, he had like a huge,
no idea.
His hair, he was spinning it. No. Anyway, that's like the most recent example I remember. I feel a lot for these people, like they are fans like me, and some of them can sing, some of them can't sing, but you can see that this is their dream finally when they get on this Eurovision stage. I think Ollie is a bit like that. He feels like somebody who really, really likes Eurovision. He knows the contest inside and out. So of course he'd raised his hand and said, okay, you can send me. And of course UK, oh Jesus, here's somebody who had a hit once, send him. Then I don't know, I don't think he's that well known in UK. I think he's more known as an actor right now. He was in a TV show called It's a Sin, where he had a main part that was on BBC some years, I think it was BBC some years
That's
ago.
That's an interesting reference because I was going to say that his song reminds me of the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, it's a lot of Pet Shop Boys there was a lot of Pet Shop Boys in there. He sang It's a Sin, the song by Pet Shop Boys, with Elton John, famously, on the Brit Awards some years ago. You can look at that clip.
Sure.
So that, I think that was maybe where most people saw him, was in this thing with Elton John at the Brit Awards. Mm. For me, I just adore him. I loved Years and Years. He's like a big idol of mine. To meet him, I would be extremely starstruck. And with that said, when I heard the song, I told you before, I mean, I think I'm listening to it like 40 times since Friday when it came out. I'm obsessed with this song. I don't think people will be.
No, I'm so glad you said that.
Because it's a super nice pop song.
Yep.
And it's exactly the music that he does. So everything is on point here. But it's not like Eurovision in that attention-grabbing kind of thing, not disappear in the ways.
I'm so glad we're on the same page. Yeah, 100%. It is, here's my exact notes, a very good pop song, influences of Pet Shop Boys. I can hear a bit of like Take That, just core Brit pop, you know, very good. But is it a good Eurovision song? No, it's too monotone. There's no climax, there's no crescendo.
Yep.
But yeah, I listened to this song.
And it also has, it's very similar to a Swedish Melodifestivalen song, but we can take that some other time. But it's,
Shall we listen to a bit of the song?
Yeah, we can listen to a bit of it.
I haven't seen the video, so this is the first for me. Won't you make me dizzy from your kisses? Will you take my hand and spin me round and round until the moment never ends? I mean, as far as music videos go for pop songs, very, very highly well produced, very good, very striking, maybe more striking than the song itself.
Yeah, I mean, and he's also already told in Reddit, he went into Reddit and said, hello, I'm Ollie, do anybody have any questions? And people were like, what? And then it was, so we know that he's going to have at least four dancers on stage doing something like that. I mean, since he is a Eurovision fan, he obviously knows what they want to do on stage to make a mark. But
as a British person, I'm quite happy that this is representing us. If this, you know, this is not embarrassing by any means. It's not Embers.
No,
it's not Embers. Someone's put some effort in.
And he can sing. He's not my mother.
Yeah. But is it going to win? I don't think so.
No, it's not.
But that's fine.
Yeah, know? I mean, keep sending names. Like, I understand that you can't send anybody that you were mentioning from Scotland. I mean, that kind of level names, you won't get that. But I mean, yeah, I hope it hope people stand behind it and that it comes like on the left side of the scoreboard, as we said.
Absolutely. I think this is a top 10 finish.
I think I it mean, can get some Euro points more than it will get viewers' points.
Yeah. This is the thing. If you're a person who's only going to watch the final and this is the first time you hear this song, it's not going to stand out in the sea of the Windows 95 mans and the Europapas.
Exactly.
It's not going to stand out at all. But it's a good song. I'm proud to be British today.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's perfectly fine. Let's just get more representation next year, please.
Yep.
Yeah. I
will also point out that he's openly gay, so there's some representation there, even if it's not countries, that's not England.
Did you know that there are no openly gay professional footballers in top tier football in the United Kingdom?
I guess it's in any country, isn't it? Like that.
Yeah.
They can't because it's too hard for them and they won't get any sponsor money.
So yeah, we need openly gay men and women out there doing their thing, being unashamedly queer in public. We need more representation. What was the...
Yeah, I just want to mention something. You know, last episode I talked about Fredrik Kempe, the guy that got voted into the Hall of Fame in Melivsvallen. And he did a duet in the beginning of the noughties together with Sanne Nielsen, who was also there. They did it, actually. So I just wanted you to hear the chorus of this, like the first line
of the chorus.
The chorus,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Ole is a Melody Festival fan. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe Fredrik Kempe was involved in the song. No, it's very, very like this, very much 80s, like the Pet Shop Boys influence under there. No, but what I want to say is Olly Alexander's voice reminds me a lot of like the Mark Owen influence in Take That. It's that sort of the softer, higher register stuff that Mark Owen did.
I love the part. I mean, of course, I love the Pet Shop Boys vibes in this song, especially when there's like a spoken part in it.
I really
love that.
Yeah.
But after that, something should have happened. And I don't mean it needs to be Europapa, like, now we switch songs and suddenly we're going to Two Unlimited or whatever. We're going to hear horrible examples of this in a while. Like when you think like, oh, I need to do something, just switch the song. Like, no, you don't have to do that. You can just do something else.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
You can just start thrusting and panting like Loreen did. Like, show your nails. That's enough. You can win about that.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see the staging for Olly. See if he does a bit more than May Muller last year.
Mm, I think May Muller got everything and a bit more. Like UK were like, oh, BBC was like, this is our thing. We're going to do, we'll build a new stage. And we put shitload of things on. And she was like, I can't do this. I can't walk and sing at the same time.
By more, I mean more appropriate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So they can sing. And
Yes. And actually do the thing.
Do that, the fandango. Yep.
Leaving the UK like I did in 2017. And never looking back.
But we will go back to UK, I promise you. There will be a UK episode at some point.
We'll do a deep dive.
Yeah, we'll do a deep dive. I'd appreciate that.
I need an education.
Yep.
Why don't we go across the water to Iceland?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice land. They had 5 songs in the final.
Great.
Before Saturday, they were, I think, 3rd or 4th in the odds to win. Where we speak right now, I think they are... I can't even keep going. 12 with a red down arrow.
Why were they so high before they chose their winner?
Because there was a guy called Bashar Murad in the mix with a song written by
members of Hatari.
Exactly. And he was from Palestine.
It's a Palestinian man living in Iceland. Yeah,
exactly. So of course you know now why it was high in the odds. Everybody wants to do this to a political thing. Yeah. After Ukraine won, famously, people were just speaking about that they got the sympathy votes, blah blah blah. So of course they were thinking, oh, this is the odds we're predicting. And I mean, I would say that it was an okay song. I wouldn't say it was all that, but I mean, it was an okay song written by a band that's been there before. That's what you pick. That's what you send. But obviously, I have no idea why this happened. But the Icelandic people choose something else.
Could it be because the person that won has a familiar name? Her name is...
I want to tell you something more about Herbjørg. She has already won once. So this is the second time she represents her country. She was there in 2010 and managed to go to the final. So she's popular. And I guess by a broader part of the audience than people listening to Hatari. And
should we have a little listen to Bashar Murad's
song?
Yeah,
we can listen a little to Bashar.
Would you like to listen to the live or the recorded version? Let's listen to the live version. Välkommen i gräsligt vilt, då färd ett snäns till att hamra jag ner. Denna är för Daikins färgis. Svi är att färg gräsligt vilt, alltså milt och skilt. En bästa folk är. I mean, that's fine.
It's fine. I think they would have had a problem with it, with the Palestinian colors in the background, to send it to this clip to Eurovision. And the video is even more Palestine.
Right.
I don't know if they had been able to use that. I think it's an okay song. It's not like wow, but I think it's interesting in a way that most songs aren't. I am a bit glad that we're not making this into something else.
Yes.
But with that said, if you have a song that people predict could be number four, you should probably pick it anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So just to explain, the visuals are a bit like Gunilla.
We've got some people, it's very, very Gunilla.
Very country. But the song is called Vestrit Vilt, which means Wild West in Icelandic. So that kind of explains the cowboy thing. But it's got a kind of a Michael Jackson sort of bass line. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, something like that.
He looks a bit like a Smooth Criminal, you know, from the video. From the Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, I understood.
Not because he's a Palestinian immigrant. No, no, no. He's wearing a white suit and a white hat.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm going to... How do I get myself out of this hole?
It's fine. It's fine.
I expected more, I'll be honest. I mean, just for context, for anyone who doesn't know, Hatari represented Iceland in 2019 in Tel Aviv.
Yep.
And after getting their points and realizing that they didn't win, they displayed Palestinian flags and were booted straight out of the arena.
There's an amazing documentary about that that you should try to find. Now I don't remember even what it was called.
All but About Hate or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think they're in English, that was the title of their song or something.
Right.
Whatever. But it's super interesting to see that they got into Palestine to get this flag and try to smuggle in because it's illegal into
Israel.
Get it into Israel first, but then also into the arena and all these kind of things. And then since it's illegal to do this, they had to like run from the country afterwards because they were so they wouldn't be captured and things. Yeah.
Just to try and separate these two things for a second, there's the contest which we try to say is not political, but ultimately is. And then, people's feelings, my personal feelings, I'm proud of them for doing this, for taking that stand. However, the bigger statement would have been to not participate, to not go to Tel Aviv, to make that statement. But, whatever. There's no wrong way to protest. That's the other thing. There's no wrong way
It's very interesting that so many people went to Tel Aviv and didn't say anything about it. But now some people don't want to go to Malmö. I'm not going to go into this, but it's so, I agree with you. It's like, it's easier to say no to that than it's also easier to say no to something that you're not going to.
And not to call out Gota, but it's easier before you've won to say, if we win, we won't go, and then win and
say, I think we'll go anyway because it doesn't matter.
It's a bigger statement if we do go. Yeah. Anyway, let's listen now to
Herbjørg
with the song called Scared of Heights. So interestingly, Bashar's song in Icelandic, I'm going to guess this is not. But let's see.
So, I don't know what to say about this. This was worse than expected.
Now.
I mean, the last time when she was in Eurovision, she had something called Je ne sais quoi, which is interesting. It was also in English, but the French name and that's like a big schlager kind of thing. It's like something that, it works. It's not like the best song ever, but it's okay. This is worse than Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm gonna. The song it reminds me of is a song that you didn't like last year when you heard it, Gustav. Because of you, and it grew on you. I think this is the same. I think this appeals to your schlager inside, and that after hearing this five times, you're going to love it.
No.
Well, we'll see.
This is more like, that was disco. This is not this, disco.
It had the 90s beat in the background.
Mm.
I will see. It reminded me a lot of Gustav, but not as good.
Gustav was like ballroom-ish. Like,
yeah, okay, so the visuals were them. Yeah, the visuals were different. But look, I
this
think
this is a certain non-qualifier.
Oh, you reckon?
They won't even be in the final.
Oh, no, I totally agree. This is terrible. I mean, yeah, who I think.
And here's the thing. They have to sing it in Icelandic in the semifinals. And then they can change the lyrics into English if they want to in the final. But yeah, I think the other guy did that too, didn't he?
So he got an English version. Oh, yeah, look. This one's called Wild West. Wait a second.
He sang it in English.
They have to sing Icelandic in the semi-final.
Yes, and then they can choose for the final. If it goes to the final, they can switch to English.
Whose rule is that?
Icelandic rules. So they're promoting their own language. Every song needs to be. So that's why the Palestinian guy, I forgot his name. That's what Bashar, he sang in Icelandic, but he doesn't know Icelandic that well, I think. So he sang in English when it comes to the final. But I mean, Hera, if she would have done, I mean, at least keep it in Icelandic. That could have given it some idea. This is the blandest thing ever. Mm. And that's worse than anything. You can be bad. You can just be Windows be 95, man.
Yeah.
But you can't be Hera Björk. Sorry. You
can't be white rice.
This, I'm scared of this.
I'm scared of the heights of terribleness that we've reached.
Yes, exactly. Poor Iceland.
Okay, why that's did interesting. You do this? Now we skipped over Welsh language earlier, but there was a whole act of parliament in the 90s that the Welsh language was going to die. So they brought this act of parliament. So they have their own parliament, but it's all part of Westminster anyway. And this act said that they had to, anything that was available in Wales in English that was a public service had to also be available in Welsh. Mm. And they resurrected the language. It's crazy how like popular it is since they brought this law out. And yeah, obviously if Iceland are doing things like this, then you know, they have that
I would
rule.
Love to have that in Sweden. Like at least like there's one semifinal every year that's just in Swedish. So we force Swedish songs to be in the final.
Yeah.
And also we force people to do different kind of songs in Swedish.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work. Here's the thing. I love hearing natural languages in Eurovision. I would love to hear somebody singing something in Swedish that could win.
Yeah.
But with that said, I don't want to force us to do everything in Swedish because I think some songs is nice in English. We are we speak a lot of English in this country.
Yeah.
So it's our second language in very much
ways.
So I'm in many ways it's our second language.
Sure. No, absolutely. I agree.
Going back, poor Iceland. Why did you do this?
Yeah, this is at least Bashar, even if you don't agree with the political statement, at least it was saying something.
Yeah, and it was a song in
this
a way.
This almost feels like a protest. Be like, no, we don't want to say anything.
Exactly.
Don't say anything.
I think it is. I mean, we didn't talk about why they choose her over him, but I think a lot of people was like, we don't want to send a statement.
Yeah.
They were afraid of that it would drown in the statement, and they'd choose her because they could just choose between these two.
Right.
That's the rule. That's also, they have five songs and then two are going to some sort of super final.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you just have two songs, that's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the winner could be that you vote against the other song.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you pick the best song.
Yeah.
I don't think they did it there. The Iceland people probably said, okay, we don't want to be involved in this. Like, we don't want to send a statement.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
Okay, this is really disappointing from the country that gave us Hatari, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. That gave us Dadi.
Yeah.
Dadi Freya. Just, if you haven't heard, and I doubt there's many people listening to this podcast haven't heard Dadi Freya. If you haven't heard Dadi Freya's song from 2020 that got cancelled, and then 2021 where he had COVID and couldn't perform live, he was robbed both times. Because both of those songs were the best songs like those years. If you haven't heard his album, I'm Writing an Album, and he does a great YouTube channel, listen to one song. If you do nothing else today, listen to the song Thank You by Dadi Freya on Spotify or watch the video on YouTube. It's like bone-chillingly good. Like that song, I get moved every time I hear it. It's just beautiful. So from a country that gave us those acts and Björk, to get Hera Björk is like, this is so.
I was actually checking. She was in the final with Hatari in 2019 and they won.
And they chose Hatari.
Yep, so now they choose her instead.
Moving on.
Where are we going now?
Let's move from Iceland further south to Austria or Switzerland. Which would you like to do first?
Ooh, let's have Austria.
Austria, because we knew that quite quick because it's a bad song.
It's a fan favorite. It's written by Swedes. It's written by Jimmy Åkesson, who wrote Max Martinus, your favorite, and Medina, also. Another song.
I've heard this song a few times, and it's just so bland. This is Kaleen with We Will Rave.
Yes.
Will we?
I will.
Yeah, another just like Eurotrance, like 90s, like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's fine. But at this point, I've heard too many of them. And this is not the best of them.
Here's the thing also with Jimmy Yoki. I've been talking so a lot to him why he uses all these like 2016 Swedish House Mafia sounds, and nothing in Melodifestivalen sounds like this, because this is the big trend right now, like the 90s house rave, like these kind of things. And it's because Swedes, they want their Aviciis, they want, because that was when we were big. But this one, I mean, finally, here are the sounds that I'm looking for. I don't say, I'm not going to go into, this is a huge fan favorite out in Europe. They love this, which is interesting, because there are a lot of fans that hate Melodifestivalen, that they think it's, everything sounds the same, everything is so bland. And then, I mean, this is obviously something that was sent into Melodifestivalen and didn't get picked or didn't have an artist or whatever. And then they got it into Austria, and fans suddenly love it. It's the most Swedish thing ever. I mean, you could imagine this song in Melodifestivalen with somebody, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And if it was
because
in
because it's the same thing. It's like, it's a song, and then it's this like drop down thing that for some reason people love here. Yeah. We have it with Max and Martinus, for example.
But they did this 2 years ago with Lumix,
yes,
featuring Pia Maria with Halo, where they did this like big like dance house tune, but she couldn't sing live. So I don't know about Colleen. I don't know how it's going to go, but I don't know. This isn't the best of this genre this year, and that's weird in 2024 to be like, who's doing, there's too many 90s songs. But coming off last year from Austria, one of my favorite songs as a Nouveau Euro person, one of my favorite songs of all time, which was Who the Hell Is Edgar?
Yep.
Just this amazing feminist anthem about women getting paid less and, you know, not being recognized as writers. So they have to pretend to be possessed by men to, you know, to get a hit, which is, you know, there's obviously a deep message there. But it was also a fun song. It was very, you know, it was very easy to listen to. This is like easy to listen to, but it, you know, what does it mean? We will rave. Like, is there anything?
No, I just think they will rave.
Yeah, sure. Great. Rave on.
Rave on, Austria.
You crazy cats.
I think it's completely acceptable. I think people will dance to it at Euroclub. I don't think it will have anything to do with. I mean, could be in the final. I mean, it depends a bit on how they present it and if she can sing.
Yeah.
But it could also be what we call a fan wank. Like the things that the fans just love to beat off to before. Like this is this, they love that that's the thing. And then when it reaches people like you who's going to vote, nobody understands anything. Mm. There have been, I mean, I can do a top 10 of fan wanks at some point, because that's.
I look forward to your top 10 fan wanks.
Yeah.
Moving on. No, let's just quickly say, actually, Austria.
Yeah.
Why are you sending so many songs in English? And looking at the list, they sent a song in French a while ago, but that's not your national language.
Yeah.
And
then, Londisi.
Müller Fiertzlisch.
Vukit mit dem Popo. That's a shit song. That's one of the worst songs ever in this competition. You probably love it. It's bullshit. That's so bad.
The artist called Track Shitters.
Yeah.
Is that a hashtag that goes with fanwank and track shitters?
I don't know. I just hate them.
All right, moving on. Austria, just do better.
Let's just move 5 meters over to Switzerland.
Let's cross that border like they did in...
No, nobody crossed it. Yeah. Mm.
Let's go to Switzerland.
I mean, we'll try to be neutral here, like they.
I heard, let's first just do a recap of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. They have done some of my favorite songs. I've talked at length about...
Who won for Switzerland John's in 1988.
Who won for Switzerland? Celine Dion.
Exactly. Hey. I'm glad, Robbie, that you know something.
I'm learning. Not France. So Switzerland, John's Tears, 2021 with Tout l'Univers, mm-hmm. one of my all-time favorite songs as a Nouveau Euro. Then after that, I mean, last year, Watergun, well, it did surprisingly well to get to the final.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think it was final worthy.
Nope,
and then it finished neither. 20th in the final.
I didn't like Boys to Cry either.
Boys to Cry was very boring. Yeah. I like the message.
Male. But I mean, Luca Henny and both of John Tears, the song that was disqualified was also amazing the year four. John was supposed to go the year where we had the pandemic, so we had to write something new for the year after.
Yes.
But they were great there, some, and ended up four and third for 2 years in a row.
Can I tell you the most redeeming feature of Watergun last year?
Oh, yeah,
it's written in a key that I can actually sing. And I can't sing, but that song is like... bang in my register. So thank you.
So I bring it up for next karaoke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eurovision themed karaoke?
It could be.
To go after the Eurovision after work?
Just you and me, probably.
Just you and me and Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Matthew, our other desk mate. So this year, Nemo, The Code.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything. We're just going to listen to it.
We're going to listen to it.
Yeah, because I've got a lot to say. So I didn't see this video. I heard this on the official playlist on Spotify. I just, you know, I go back to that every couple of days. And then this popped up when it got released. And I obviously hadn't heard it. And on the playlist, it just says Nemo. The code doesn't say the country. Mm. So can you guess where I thought this was from?
UK?
No, I'd already heard Dizzy. I thought this was Australia. Reminds me so much of Mary-Kate and Ashley, what's she called?
The woman on
Zero
the stick.
Gravity, yeah. Like the ha, 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 very operatic, you know. I mean, I put him on a stick and I'm...
Yeah, and wave him around.
Yeah,
I love and it. It's right up your alley. It's actually number 5 now in the odds to win. So it's a huge favorite this year. This and Netherlands are rocketing up and pushing down Sweden, by the way. I think it's a good chorus. I'll give them that because this is a non-binary person.
Okay.
So I'll give them that. It's a good chorus, but I hate the start and stop songs. It doesn't feel like music to me. It feels like you have different ideas. You try to put them together, but the kids' age seems to love it. It's like the weirder the shit it's out there, the more it doesn't remind them of the regular like music and they think they're special. It's a whole generation that's been pampered by the parents that they're so effing special. So they have like no sense of doing things together. They have like everything that two or more people do together is like communist for them. They don't do things. They need to be so fucking unique.
Yeah.
So when they hear shit like this that's never been done before, it's like, oh, this is so good. It's not good. It's just different parts put together in a way you haven't heard before. And then suddenly, it's amazing. It's so original. Original doesn't mean good. Sometimes a song that more than 3 people like could be a good song. So, yeah, So, sure. But I mean, as I said, it's number 5 because people are buying into that crap.
Do you know what I just realized? So you explained something to me a couple of years ago when I was getting into Eurovision. You said the thing about pop songs now is you need to catch them in the first 30 seconds. So more so now, the chorus will be at the beginning of the song, yep, or at least the refrain to get you in at the beginning because you need to catch people there. And then so the songs that were doing well in Eurovision were kind of following that trend. Now more so, you have to be 4 different songs because there have to be 4 different 15 seconds you can put in TikToks.
Exactly, 100% that.
So that's the, you
because
know.
People just listen to 15 seconds. So then you suddenly have 4 songs out at the same time.
So
and that's it.
It will be difficult for me to pick a 15 second snip to represent this song in the podcast because it is 4 different songs at different parts.
I would pick the chorus, but then people would probably not understand what we talk about because the opera part is just something
else. You miss
the
opera, you miss the rapping, you know, there's like proper hip hop jams in there. I mean, it's good stuff. I like it. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. From a conventional perspective, it's not a song, it doesn't flow, but we are the old men shouting at clouds here. This is, you know...
And I mean,
I don't think it'll win, though. I'm surprised to see it's 5. I think this will be big on TikTok, but I don't think it'll win.
There's also a little flirt going on Twitter between them and the Lithuanian guy right now. So
okay.
That's nice. He was like, do you know where I can find Nemo? And then he was like... And then they were like, hello. We're
handsome
here.
Handsome couple.
Yep.
So they have a lovely falsetto that ticks boxes for me.
Mm.
I don't mind the operatic. It reminds me of the Kate Mary Heidke. I like that. So this, I do like this song. I just don't think it'll win, but definitely top 10 in the final.
Yeah, probably. Good for them.
Brilliant, Switzerland. Let's go to...
Serbia, maybe.
Serbia. I don't want to go to Serbia. Don't make me go to Serbia.
They had 16 songs in the final. Constructor was there. You remember her?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know, Constructor 2 years ago...
Yes.
...had a very, very interesting song. Very reminiscent of like, for me, it's like, do you know Baz Luhrmann's Sunscreen song? Mm-hmm. Very like...
It was
like
word-ish.
It's like a public service announcement. And it was all about washing your hands. Well, no. It wasn't about washing your hands. It was. Wait, let me gather my thoughts.
Clear message from Robbie Banks.
Visually, it was about washing your hands. And there was some elements of that in there, but it was actually a very serious message about the lack of insurance for the people in the performing industry, and then caught out by COVID that they didn't have this sort of safety net. Very good message. If you didn't know that, if you didn't know the meaning of the song, it was just a weird Eurovision song.
It was a weird woman washing her hands. But on the other hand, it went very well for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I mean, that was a grower. I didn't like it the first time I heard it. But I did like it by the time we got to the final. What else have they had recently, Ken?
Last year they had Luke Black, the hardcore electro weird guy.
Computer game on stage.
He came last in the final, didn't he? I think. I'm not saying this. He came very, very low.
In maybe the final. Second last year.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Germany was, of course, last. Yes. They always last. Yeah, yes. Sure.
But I really was. This is the thing with Serbia, the last 2 years. Didn't like it the first time I heard it, but really grew on me to the point where it was one of my favorites both times. Massively different finishes where Constructor came fifth and he came 24th.
Yeah.
So, I expect big things.
Year before, 2021, Hurricane, one of my absolute favorites. That was something I didn't like either. And then I just grew. They were. Love them.
Serbian Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, yes.
No.
I love them. No. So outrageous. I love them. I adored that.
No.
That was so nice.
No.
They are now like replaced. There's still like a Hurricane there, but there's three new women.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. It's like Dolly style.
Check out Loco Loco, please.
No, don't.
That's amazing.
So this year, Teodora with Ramonda. Shall we?
I have no idea what
this is. Give it a listen. I love it.
Yeah, I was just saying that. You, of course, love this.
Finally, an actual sad girl song. And it's in Serbian.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's actually about the flower that they use as, but you in UK, I think it's the poppy that use.
So for opium.
The Ramonda is a flower that was exterminated because, I mean, it dried out. They use it as like a symbol for so many people dying in World War One.
Okay.
So that's the remembrance poppy is also World War One. Yeah. So that's what she's singing about, like the Serbian people struggle in World War One.
Okay.
With some sort of other.
So this is how little I identify as a British person. When you said using a poppy, my mind went straight to heroin. Because it's poppy that, you know, they grow in Afghanistan that they make the heroin from. But you meant remembrance. Yes, we do use the poppy as a symbol of remembrance.
Interesting that I know that.
And I mean, I know that. I just, that's not where my mind goes to.
Okay. It's a bit of a lullaby kind of thing. Nice. They will
won't
probably
get to the
final. Be in the final here.
Oh, yes. I don't think so.
You don't?
No, compared to what we've got this year.
But this is like, it's just public in the semifinals. And of course, if it's like, have a sort of nationalistic thing in it. Maybe they get so many votes from their neighbors, but they are Serbs living. I don't know. I think this is kind of songs that usually make it to the final.
Bit
anyway.
Of a sleeper, yeah. I mean, I'd be super happy if they made it to the final. I already love this song on the first listen, and I will definitely add this to my sad girl playlist. But I don't think it's got enough for this year. To stand out this year.
I need to hear it more, I think. It was also the first time I've heard it, so...
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have made huge marks on the odds here. If I check, they are 23 right now, so not much has happened after they selected this song.
But big thumbs up from me. Well done, Serbia. Keep sending Serbian songs in Serbian. Love it.
Serbing some realness.
Right, the last song of this episode, Ken. Shall
finally,
we make our way?
We are going to Cyprus.
To Cyprus.
And I haven't heard this. I just seen some snippets of it.
I have seen snippets.
I know that this might be the big Do You Want to See Me Dance song of the year. And there needs to be some. You know there needs to be. Italy is there, but she's a bit too good for it.
Malta. We didn't. Oh, no.
Oh, Malta.
Have you watched the Malta song since we did on the podcast?
No.
So we paused it before the dance break. I didn't tell you. She puts a blindfold on and then does the dance break blindfolded. And then she takes the blindfold off and carries on the song.
I mean, it's dance. What do you want her to see? Like, are they putting like things on stage so she can trip over it or what? Was I supposed to be impressed by this?
No.
I mean, dancers that, I mean, they use their body and follow the rhythm. Like, what? But it would be impressive if she put a blindfold and then they put like people on there that she needs to like jump
on. Put a blindfold on and catch a bullet out of the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
No.
Maybe Cyprus does that.
So when I saw a clip of this, mm-hmm. I think I sent you a text immediately going, now talk about Tuta Gold. Because mm-hmm. she's wearing a golden tracksuit, but also...
The Tutas.
The two, yeah. Cyprus, famously bad what? Recently.
Yes. Famously bad. Yeah, they sent the Liamo song last year. At least you could look at him. He was very nice looking.
He was a good looking guy.
Yeah, he was good looking at. And I mean, they've been fighting a bit since Fuego. Fuego is like the, I don't know, one of the most modern classics in the history of Eurovision. Like, yeah. Fuego is still like, I mean...
What year was
Eleni
that?
Eleni Ferreira, she almost made me straight. Like, Jesus, that woman.
What year was that though, Ken?
That was 2018.
Right, that's now a long time ago.
Yeah, it is.
In Nouveau Euro terms, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So you got
for me, as an old person, like I had like...
Yeah, that's very recent.
That's that old.
So, yeah, Break a Broken Heart last year by André Lambro. I'm going to controversially say that the best version of that song was by Voyager from Australia. They did a cover of this song in their metal style and they put it on YouTube that was nice. And it was so freaking good. So I recommend everyone...
So that's first, then Liamo and then the real version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, this year, they are sending Celia Capsis with a song called Liar.
The only thing I know about this is that they sent it into Greece last year and it wasn't selected because they have an internal selection and they show something else. So it could have been, I mean, if it's a success this year, the Greeks...
The same song?
I think it was the same song. Wow. That's what I heard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now...
That's just a rumor, though. It could be my tinfoil hat that just went on.
Now that they, Cyprus, are sending a song called Liar, there is a 1 in 12 chance that Sweden sends a song called Awful Liar.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's 1 in 12. Sorry, that I don't think anybody will remember Lisa Ajax when that appears on. They will. Yeah, on Saturday will be like, "Who are you?
Oh, you're still here. That's nice.
Oh, that's nice. We forgot that you were alive still.
Did someone forget to buy you bus fare? Let's check it out. This is Liar. Giving me so much Britney, it's like crazy.
And as one part of me will be like, want to like scrutinize, like, oh, it's I just love this. I can't say anything about it. Yeah,
okay.
I
can't. Is this Swedish writers? Because this is very Swedish.
I haven't. No, it's actually written by a Greek songwriter, but he's like a name in Eurovision. He wrote, for example, "You're the Only One," the Russian song that everybody thought was going to win, but Ukraine won famously in 2016.
Okay.
A lot of other songs. Cross My Heart to Azerbaijan. That was the first time they didn't qualify for the final.
Wow.
So that's his worst result he had in Eurovision. But he's written, I think, both times when Sergei Lazarev was there for Russia. So he's very much like a songwriter for hire when people, now I think, but mostly like the eastern part of Europe. And I not any political borders here, but like Greek.
Sure.
Greece, Azerbaijan, Russia.
Yeah, I don't really like this. I mean, it's fine. It's perfectly listenable, but it doesn't stand out. It's in English, so yeah,
he wrote Sugar. Do you remember Sugar? 2021, the woman dancing from Moldova. Moldova. She lost her microphone. No, don't remember Sugar?
I remember that.
Last Dance, Stefania. She had like
I know that one, the green screen.
Yeah, also him.
That was a good one. Cyprus has two official languages, and neither of them are English. Why not send a Greek or a Turkish song? Is it too much to ask?
So now he's famously written songs for 7 different countries in the contest, exactly as many as Thomas Gesson. So now Thomas Gesson needs to just come back and write for somebody he haven't been written for.
So what do we think about this? Could it win?
No, it can't win.
No. Will it get to the final?
Yes, it will go to the final.
Yeah, sadly.
Sadly, you need this shit in Eurovision.
It's rubbish.
Come on. It would be amazing. It would be like, this would be like tits on stage. This is like going to be amazing. Yeah. Like,
believe it or not, I actually want some music in my song contest.
Oh, Jesus, you love Windows 95, man. And that worthless piece of them on a train that we just watched before.
How
Jesus,
dare you?
You don't like music. You just like, you're starting to be like the weird shit kind of people. Jesus, you're so like no Euro or whatever.
Nouveau Euro.
Mm. Huh.
Okay.
Love this.
Well, we have to disagree sometimes, Dan. Mm-hmm. We can't always just disagree.
It's not the best I've heard. I'll say that. I mean, this genre has have better songs. I also think that he has written better songs for you, right. Michel. So I will say that. But I mean, this year I'm in a desert right now, so somebody gave me a drop of water for this, like something classical Eurovision.
You see, I feel like we're drowning in songs like this. I just feel like you get saturated with these just forgettable, dancey pop songs. We disagree. Look, this would be a boring podcast if we agreed on everything.
Giving you the side eye is not very effectful in a podcast, no. I just realized.
I'll edit in the sound.
It's also, I mean, this is like, I've had a podcast with another friend for years. This is a bit like when you get like a new partner and getting like into a new sex life. Like everything, some things are just working out as they used to be. And then suddenly you push a button and people are like, no, I don't like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is like this always works. This is the thing that's happening right now.
Yeah, well, like, I'm sorry.
It's not that bad. I can understand it's not your, but I mean, Jesus, come on.
No. I said it's perfectly listenable. Just to be clear, I'm a bit sick of relying too heavily on sexuality for your song. Mm. That's what I'm a bit sick of. Is that fair?
Yeah. But you know that this was like a sort of feminist anthem. You saw that. That was like her thing. Like, you don't need men, blah, blah, blah. They are liars. And you saw the video with the men manhandling poor women. And then they take over in the end. And it's just women dancing on the tables. And
all I saw was the dancing bellboys and her trying to bring back the L sign, which she's trying to make into liar. It's fine. Like it's fine. But I don't think it'll win. If it gets the final, I'm okay with that.
Of course it won't win. Songs like, I mean, if Fuego didn't win, this won't win. I mean, it's not even close.
Fair.
But yeah, sure.
That feels like a good place to end. And on a downer.
Another downer. It was the best song of the ones we listened to today. Except Ollie, of course.
Mm, that feels like a lifetime ago. A long episode. Listen.
Yep.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us a DM on Instagram. You can email us at deskmates@gmail.com. You can reply directly under the episode in Spotify. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Meow cats. Please meow back.
Thanks. Bye-bye.